it doesn't surprise me about the alcohol use, the drug use, the people trying to lose themselves in perversion. They're trying to find something to numb them to the emptiness, to the pressures of a fallen world. And they're looking, and they're seeking, and they're searching. And they're looking, as the song says, for love in all the wrong places. Can you say amen? The internet is hooking men that from all walks of life in an addictive behavior called a pornography that is very, very addictive, as many or any of the drugs there are on the market. And it's not in your veins, and it's not something that is taking control of you through a chemical thing. It is a spiritual thing that gets a hold of people, and it is very, very strong. And there are people risking their careers, their lives. It's just incredible to see politicians' lives crumbling because of perversion and a drive that controls people that people do not control. It's an incredible day to be living when there's so many things that can hook people, and the hook is stronger than it's ever been before in a culture as it drifts from God and away from God, amen, as a whole, then all of the influences of the enemy become more pronounced in that kind of atmosphere. As it gets darker in the world, the enemy, who's the prince of darkness, whose element is darkness, is able to work more efficiently in the lives of people that he wants to destroy. And how many lives are destroyed, and how many lives are headed for destruction? And I feel an urgent desire to see people set free, not just come to church and get the free ticket to heaven. The free pass to heaven gospel, amen, will not keep you from that enemy, amen. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, that not only assures you a place in heaven, but delivers you from the power of the evil one, translates you out of the power of darkness into here and now, into the kingdom of light and the kingdom of love and the kingdom of our great God. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's pray tonight that God will take His Word, vouchsafe it to our heart, amen, so that it will bring forth its fruit, 30, 60, and even 100-fold tonight. Praise the Lord. Number four, if you will. We will play that song and bookend this service in praise tonight. Praise God. We're glad that you're here. The Word of God is vitally important because it always has been, but especially in the last day. If we're going to overcome perilous times, if we're going to overcome a time when there would be false preachers, false prophets, and great, and I say that, I can't emphasize that much, great deception. Can you say amen? The Word of God becomes our compass. It becomes a lamp unto our feet. It becomes a light unto our pathway. And the vital work of the Holy Spirit, not as just the blesser, but as the guide who guides us into truth. If we're going to be saved and kept in this generation, we have got to begin to lean on and look to and proclaim the Holy Spirit much more as in His ministry of guiding us into all truth. Amen. There's a scripture out of context that really doesn't capture what it means in 1 John, and you've all heard it, and I'm going to tell it to you, and I'm going to quote it because it's true. In terms strictly of power against power, the greater one is living in you. We all know that. But the devil's influence is not a power-to-power conflict. It's not about him overpowering you. It's about him deceiving you and getting you to use the power of your own will to make the wrong decisions. In the context that it's written, he that's within you is greater than he that's in the world. Above it, it says, we have an unction from the Holy One and know all things, for he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. It's speaking about, and it says, hereby we know the spirit of Antichrist, for every spirit that confesses that Jesus is not come in the flesh is Antichrist. Amen. He that's within you, this spirit of truth, you know what unction means in the Greek? It means a special anointing. And in the context that was written, a special anointing, a particular, peculiar anointing then, to know truth. Can you say amen? You know what we need to do? We need to quit following every flash and plan manifestation and demand that we hear the truth from the pulpits. Not irregardless of what may or may not be happening in the audience. Truth is truth. Amen. And there are what the Bible said, when the Antichrist is manifest, the false prophet comes on the scene, there are going to be lying wonders. And that means wonders are going to take place. Supernatural things are going to take place to confirm a lie. Amen? And the only way to be kept from that, anybody that just sees a sign or a wonder and says it's got to be God, honey, that's not enough. We need the Spirit of truth to guide us into all truth. I don't care how many people follow someone. I don't care how excited they are. If they're not proclaiming the truth as declared in the Word of God, here's the way I operate. Let God be true and every man become the liar. When anyone preaches or teaches anything that conflicts with the Word of God, it is to be opposed and it is to be exposed. When Peter, who had a healing ministry to the degree, such an anointing on him, that they brought out the sick and laid them near where he would be walking by, amen, so that so much as his shadow passing over them, many of them would be healed. But Paul said when he got off target in preaching, I was this man with this anointing. Paul said, when I withstood him to the face, for he was to be blamed. What was the issue? He began to preach the gospel exclusively to the Jews, excluding the Gentiles, and through that adapting some of the Jewish customs that had nothing to do with grace. And the wonder of it is not just that Paul confronted him as a senior minister, but that the senior minister listened and came back on course. Amen? So you can't just listen to what somebody's saying because a miracle is happening. Even the anointing to heal was a legitimate anointing. It wasn't a lying wonder. It was a legitimate anointing from God. But when he got off base with truth, someone stood up and said, to the face, you're wrong. And the man listened and got right. Isn't that incredible humility with someone with so many followers and such an anointing? It didn't puff him up with pride, and because he had failed and fell in love with Jesus, and he knew he was but dust, and he stayed humble with a mighty anointing. Can you say amen? And that's humility is what allows us to keep walking in the truth. Amen? Holy Spirit wants to guide us into truth. Well, that's another message, but I wanted to run that by you because we're going to talk about the mighty power of God and the purposes and of the Holy Spirit. But I want us to understand, if you're just looking for spiritual phenomena and you don't have a heart for truth, you can get misled so very easily. Can you say amen? And we need, amen, this unction from the Holy One to know all things. And we need this wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I love him tonight. I want the truth. I don't want to play church, and I don't care. There's a lot of things just don't move me, don't excite me, doesn't turn me on, doesn't get me up. Amen. You know why? Because I'm a pursuer of truth. There's nothing that is worth losing that for. Can you say amen? But let me tell you something about the truth. When you get into the truth, it'll set you free. It doesn't matter what bondage, what need, God's truth will absolutely liberate you and me and keep us safe from the enemy. Praise God. There's a shield, amen, called the shield of faith, but there's a sword called the sword of truth. Can you say amen? The shield is to defend you from the enemy. Amen. But the sword is to stick him with. Thank you for the hearty amens. Cut him with. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we pray you'll bless your Word tonight and bless us as we enter into this place in you that you're calling us to. We give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I will get free and God will be glorified. If you have your Bibles, where we began to go this morning was the book of Ephesians. And I want to go back to the book of Ephesians and begin reading at verse 14, Ephesians 5 and verse 14. We want to talk just a little while tonight about being filled with the Spirit, not being drunk with wine wherein is excess, but being filled with the Spirit. And I want to put this in the context that it was written rather than just using it, amen, to fit something that may not be exactly what God wants to communicate to us. Amen. I want to find the grander purposes of being filled with the Spirit than just speaking with, you know, there are some people who want to be filled with the Spirit so they can prove that they have arrived at a spiritual plateau or a spiritual plane. That's the wrong reason to be filled with the Spirit. That is not the correct reason. Amen. That is something to build you up and make you look good to your peers. Amen. To make you fit in if you're in a group of people that are Spirit-filled and you're outside that inner circle because you're not either speaking in tongues or used in a gift or don't have a manifestation. That's the wrong reason to speak to be filled with the Spirit. Let me tell you another wrong reason to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. The wrong reason to be filled with the Spirit is so you can just get a special blessing all the time, to feel something supernatural all the time. That's a wrong reason. God has never promised to let you feel liver shivers every Sunday. It's not promised in the Word. He promised to be with you. He promised to be in you. Amen. He didn't promise to stimulate you to where you everything is based on a feeling. Amen. It'd be terrible if you couldn't pray in faith because you couldn't feel God. Because a lot of times when your emotions are rocked by a circumstance, it may be difficult for you to sense the presence of God. But that doesn't change the fact that you will pray. If you will pray in faith, He will listen. And the idea of prayer is getting God to hear us. If God hears us, if we know He hears us, we know we have the petition. Because He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. So pray when you feel like it, pray when you don't. Praise Him when you feel like it and praise Him when you don't. And especially when you don't. Can you say amen? Because that's when you need it the most. Amen? Now, God manifests Himself. I felt the Lord this morning. In fact, when I feel God the greatest in a service, you know what I want to do? I want to replicate that service and I want to play it again. I want it to happen just like it did in the evening service. Can you say amen? If I get a special blessing in the morning, you know what I would love? To have that same special blessing hit me in the evening. Amen. If I did a dance in the morning, I'd love to dance tonight. Praise God. But I didn't just come here to see whether I'm going to get to dance or not. Amen. I came here to enjoy His presence, to teach His Word, to receive His Word. Amen. I want to know the grander work, the greater work of the Holy Ghost. I want people to know how vital He is to victory, particularly in the evil day. Can you say amen? Amen. There's so much that God has provided for us for the evil day. The armor of God is for the evil day. Can you say amen? Amen. Having done all that you might stand, amen, in that evil day. Having done all in that evil day. What is that evil day? Did you know there's an enemy of your soul that has evil intent? He's evil and he intends for your destruction. And we do wrestle against Him. Some of you have battles in your mind, some in your bodies. Most of us in our families, to one degree or another, He uses family members. Amen. He uses people at the job. He uses people in church. Amen. Immature Christians can be easily used of the devil. Peter is a good example of that. Amen. Jesus is telling him that he must go to the cross to fulfill his Father's will, to accomplish his mission. And the first thing out of Peter's mouth is something that would dissuade him from doing what he came to this earth to accomplish. Far be it from thee, Lord. And Jesus, recognizing that the devil was using Peter because Peter couldn't tell the difference. Amen. He simply said, "Get thou behind me, Satan." And he wasn't talking to Peter, but the spirit that was influencing Peter. There's no reason to bring the devil into this unless he's around somewhere. He would have told Peter, "Hush, you don't know what you're talking about." But he didn't. He rebuked the devil directly. Well, the devil must have been influencing Peter. Can you say amen? And Jesus could see that. Jesus discerned that. Jesus knew that. I'll tell you, it's comforting to me to know that no matter what the devil's up to, God is watching it all. Can you say amen? Isn't that good to know? No matter what kind of trap he's laying, God's sitting there saying, oh yeah? I don't think so. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible? If we will really begin to look to the Lord, lean upon the Lord, and become Christians that are of full age, that by reason of the exercises of their senses, your spiritual sensibilities that have grown and matured, that you are able to discern good from evil. And especially when evil parades itself as good, you can still detect what is really behind it. In that, there is no such gift as the gift of discernment. That is not a gift. That is a process of spiritual growth. They are of full age. How do you get to full age anyway? By falling out, getting holy laughter, being used in gifts? No, you desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And it has to graduate from milk to meat. Amen? Before maturity comes, you got to leave the milk. Somebody said, she's preaching too hard. Well, is it the truth? Did Jesus say it? Is it in the Bible? Yeah, it's in the Bible, but they preach too hard. Well, if they're preaching what's in the Bible, it shouldn't be too hard. You can't stay on milk and grow up. Amen. If your flesh is ugly and the Bible reveals it as ugly, go ahead and accept that it's ugly. Don't mean God don't love you. He's trying to help you overcome something that's ugly. Amen. Trying to deliver you from the enemy's influence in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. The Bible said, Paul said, I couldn't give you meat. So I gave you milk. But then he said, when you should be out teaching others, look at their immaturity. When you should be an example to others and able to help others find the truth and walk in it, you still have need that someone teach you what are the first principles of the oracles of God. You've never got off the foundation. You're not growing. You're not going anywhere. You should be teaching others, and someone is still trying to get you to come to church. He's going to get you to be faithful, get you to quit sinning, get you back at an altar every week. He said, you haven't went anywhere in God. Can you say, man? You may be talking in tongues and be in that condition. You may give a message and be in that condition. None of that has to do with maturity. Those are gifts of the Spirit. Amen. If I give you $1 million, it don't mean you're a wise entrepreneur. Well, I said it right this time. Can you? Amen. It doesn't mean that you have achieved something great. It means that you've been given a gift, and because of that gift, you have the power of that money. But you didn't make it. You're not that wise and great and inventive and ingenious. Someone gave you something. Winn Dixie was the greatest grocer in the South till the people who founded it and loved the grocery business and gave their whole life really to establishing the company, they all kind of died off and retired, and the kids got it. Oh, wow. Just handed to them. Here it is. Now, you got the control in stock. And what do the kids do? Whoa! I mean, these are 40 and 50-year-old kids, but they didn't build that company. They don't have any particular love for the company. It was handed to them on a silver platter, and it's, whoa, we got a company. Woo! From 1,100 and something stores to 500 stores, and they blame Walmart. Funny thing is, Publix is thriving in spite of Walmart. Amen? Thriving with all of that competition. There was a reason I said that is because I don't work for them anymore. We bought out 2 months ago. So if they hear this tape, I'm not going to lose my job. Hallelujah. Amen. But I read a commentary that said Winn Dixie was one of the strongest chains of grocers in the South. The South is synonymous with Winn Dixie, hence the name Winn Dixie, for years and years and years. And said, I would feel a tinge of sadness because of when they first filed bankruptcy and looked like they were in serious trouble. Said, I would, and they're survived now with 500 instead of 1,134 stores, and they lost their big store in the Bahamas and a lot of others. But and now their future's kind of up in the air. They got to really fight to stay alive in the in the competitive world, and they had to get a CEO from outside. Can you say, man? They had to get help from somewhere else and give him the reins in order not to see it go on down. But he said, I would feel sorry for them, but except that there have been years and years and years of bad management that has brought them to this place. In other words, it's not the competition, it's the management. Let me tell you something about the Christian life. Amen. When Christians lose the victory, it's not because God isn't faithful, God isn't true, God isn't who He said He was and can't do what He said He can do in our life. It's because of bad management. It's because we're making the decisions. We're calling the shots. We're making the choices. We're doing what feels good and feels right to us instead of following His truth. I'm going to tell you something. I'm a stickler for truth. I'm not like a lot of people. I am not easily... Listen, I'm not jaded and I am not cynical, but I'm not easily excited either. I've watched so many flash in the pan things, and I've watched things come along that people thought it was the greatest thing since Cracker Jacks, and I've watched doctrine get off and people get into serious trouble, and I've watched followers of ministry that were supposed to set the whole world free, amen, end up confused, end up disgusted, end up in some of them in demonic activity. I know a young woman that used to follow a particular ministry because of the power that was manifest. Honey, this is not about power. This is about a person, and the person is Jesus Christ. And I know a person who pursued that enough to fly hundreds, if not over 1,000 miles, just to get in a meeting and thrive in that atmosphere of the anointing, that ended up in a mental institution. Are you listening to me tonight? And these are people that we've known our whole life. And to end up in a mental listen, Jesus is a person, and He's called the Prince of Peace. Can you say amen? When you follow Him, you don't walk in darkness. When you follow Him, you get rest for your soul. When you follow Him, you get peace in your heart and peace in your mind. Can you say amen? Not just power, but Jesus. Not anointed preachers, but Jesus. Nobody can do that but Jesus in your life. The anointing does not supplant Jesus. The anointing is something God gives in addition to Jesus. But Jesus is the primary thing. Hallelujah. It's all about Jesus. If you want peace, you go to the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. You can't dance enough to get peace. Shout enough to get that deep inward, deep settled peace that passes understanding. Can you say amen? People tormented in their minds is a terrible thing. God sets us free from that. Amen. The Bible said there's a peace that will keep the heart and the mind through Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible? And that word keep is like a fortress. It's like a great fortress against the enemy that would seed into us fear and anxiety and confusion. And here's this great wall. My mother is 80 years old, and to see some 80, I guess. But she's, because I don't know how it happened. I think she's too young for it to happen, but she has dementia, and we're praying for her. She asked for prayer today. The very first time that she has ever tearfully asked for prayer. She said, ask your church, so I'm asking you right now, to pray for my mama. I have been praying with more faith for my mother because my mother has acknowledged a need for prayer. Please, Bobby, ask the church. And she was happy up until I was leaving. And she said, ask the church to pray for me. Would you do that? And will you pray for me? And so I did. And now I'm asking you to join me in prayer for her. But she has confusion in her mind. Amen. And there's a lot of people in that place, in a nursing home, with confusion, with dementia. Amen. But when you see someone in their 30s or 40s in that condition, then you know that something is terribly wrong. And then when you see someone that is following the ministries all across America for the anointing have that condition. So I'm not blaming the ministers. I'm telling you there's no one like Jesus. I'm telling you there's nothing like Jesus. I'm telling you there's no, the anointing doesn't take the place of Jesus in your heart and your life. And His peace and His power and His person. Can you say amen? I love the song that says, and I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Can you say amen? We need to get our mind stayed on Jesus. That's biblical. Looking, setting your gaze is what it means in the Greek. Looking unto Jesus, who is what? The author and the finisher of your faith. You started with Him. You go all the way with Him. You're complete in Him. Hallelujah. Amen. There is nothing any man or woman with an anointing can do to give you peace of mind. Nothing. Except give you the Word of God that tells you about Jesus. You've got to come to Him. You that labor and are heavy laden, get under this ministry and get that big hand laid on you. No, come unto me and I will give you rest and you'll find rest for your soul. Can you say amen? I want to get in a ministry that points people to Jesus. that proclaims everything that He said. Can you say amen? And has it within their view to make disciples unto Jesus out of all nations. Jesus didn't say, go out and build yourself a constituency. Go out and make disciples unto me, teaching them to observe and to do everything that I've told you. Wow! So that when the meeting is over, people are set in their heart to follow, look to and follow Jesus Christ. Oh, I can't give you peace. I can't lay hands on you and get you peace. I've seen people fall out under such a powerful anointing. They were velcroed to the floor, couldn't move, shook for 25 minutes, got up and went home and had the torment in their mind. Unless Jesus comes into that equation somewhere. If I can but touch the hem of His garment, if I can but touch some part of His robe, can you say, man, the anointing flows, but it flows from Him, my brother and my sister. Shalabaki solomababa. Le shalabakitada. Le karabarota. Healing comes, but it comes from Him. The prayer of faith is offered, but it's the Lord that raises them up. Can you say amen? Oh, we need more interest, more emphasis on the Lord and not just the anointing on the preacher. The Lord is here tonight. The Lord is in this place. We lay on hands, but the Lord, say it with me, the Lord, Adonai, raises people up. Hallelujah. The anointing is directly, distinctly given to Jesus Christ. Then we're anointed to proclaim Him. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He hath anointed me to set the captive free. Amen. Philip went down to Samaria and preached about His mighty anointing. Did he do that? No. Philip went down to Samaria and told them about all His 9 supernatural gifts. Philip went down to Samaria and preached faith, amen, to them. No, Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the sick were healed. And demons cried and came out. And people came and got saved, healed and delivered. And they began to seek the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. So many they couldn't lay hands on them and pray for them all. And they called for the elders of the church of Jerusalem to come down and see what God was doing and help them minister to these hungry people. And there was great joy in that city. Because it was genuine. It was authentic revival. Jesus was exalted. Whew. Jesus was exalted. Everybody say, Jesus was exalted. Hallelujah. It's real easy to veer away from Christ. There's a faith message out there that mentions Jesus very little. He's in the peripheral of it. He's not the centerpiece of it. Amen. How do you know? I've heard the tapes. Amen. I've seen the television broadcast. And I'm looking for Jesus to stand up mighty and prominent in the teaching. Jesus is in the peripheral of the teaching. Our development of our faith to achieve great things is in the centerpiece of it. Can you say amen? Oh, my brother, my sister, the Apostle Paul would beg to differ with that message and that messenger. Amen. He said, I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus and Him crucified. He said, if I glory, if I boast with all of His anointing, revelations, and gifts, if I glory, if I boast, I will glory in the cross of Jesus Christ, whereby I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto me. What is the gospel? You take Jesus anywhere out of or put Him in the peripheral, it is not the gospel. Can you say amen? So Jesus said, go and preach the gospel to every nation, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. We need a truth confirmed by the Holy Spirit so that when everything is said and done, people are hooked up to Jesus and they know the truth. They're not just healed. They don't just get a manifestation. They know the truth and they follow Him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Somebody give Him praise in this room tonight. Hallelujah! What word did the Holy Ghost confirm? Jesus and Him crucified. I don't want to know anything Paul said. I'm not going to argue politics with you. I'm not going to get off in your tangents. Amen. I'm not just going to preach faith or just preach on the Holy Ghost. I'm going to preach Jesus and Him crucified. It's going to build your faith and cause a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? I said it's going to build your faith and cause... Why? Because Jesus is what? The author and the finisher of what? Our faith. So we point people to Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And we encourage people to follow Jesus, who is the truth and the way and the life. Some people are church people. Some people are evangelical groupies. Amen. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. And that identifies you as immature. Amazing, the people that identify with some minister that they think is head and shoulders above other ministries is actually immature because it's not about the minister, it's about God. So in Paul's day, they said, I'm of Paul. And they thought Paul would be glad to hear so many people were following him, amen, in his ministry. And then others said there's a great orator down there that was strong in the presentation of the gospel. His name was Apollos. Can you say, man, what a speaker, what an anointed speaker Apollos was. So of the people that got saved under his ministry, I'm of Apollos. They actually identified with God's servant instead of God who saved them. Can you say, man, are you listening to me? And there are people out there right now that'll start telling you who they're following. You'll be with them 5 minutes, they'll tell you about who they're following. Can you say, man? Well, I thought a Christian was to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Can you say, man? There's nobody that great for me to hold in that esteem. I give honor where honor is due, but I do not hold anyone in the place that I hold Jesus Christ tonight. Hallelujah, He's my everything. He is the air I breathe. Can you say, man? He's never disappointed me. He's never led me astray. His word is indeed a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. I'm not easily swayed by every wind of doctrine. The Bible said there are many Christians tossed to and fro by what? Every blowing wind of doctrine, and they're tossed to and they're tossed fro. Amen. But listen to me. There is a truth tonight that isn't a Pentecostal truth. It isn't a Baptist truth or an Episcopal truth. Amen. Many have veered from it. It isn't John Wesley's truth. It isn't Wesleyan Methodist truth. Can you say amen? There is a truth that is wrapped up in a person. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I want to follow the truth tonight and Him who is the truth and the life and the way. I'm going to submit something to you tonight. If you get healed, Jesus did it. The Lord raised you up. Someone prayed the prayer of faith, but don't credit their anointing. Credit your God. All of us have the ability through the Holy Spirit to minister Christ to one another. Call the elders of the church, the mature ones. Amen. That's not the church board. That's people mature in the Lord. How do you know mature? Because strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. How do you know they're full age? Because they can discern good and evil. Even when evil parades as good, they're not easily hoodwinked or hornswoggled. Can you say amen? Even if Satan appears as an angel of light, they ask him what he believes about Jesus. They said, hey, angel, if you're really an angel from God, do you believe that Jesus has come in the flesh? Every spirit that doesn't confess that is antichrist. I don't care if it looks like an angel, walks like an angel, talks like an angel, has feathers like a goose. Can you say amen? Remember Lucy Goosey, the lady that would go out and preach and up in the... And she'd always choose a hall that had a balcony and they'd set up these huge fans up in the balcony to quote-unquote keep the people comfortable. No, it wasn't. They had those fans going so at a particular highlight of the service when the people were really worked up, they would take a pillowcase full of goose feathers. The downy feathers, not the big old stuff, you know, downy goose feathers from the breast area. And they would throw it in front of that fan, and suddenly from up in the air above, and all these people are glued on the speaker, and all these goose feathers come out and spread through that whole place, and they come trickling down. And a man is sitting there, and here this downy white feather falls on his shoulder. And Lucy, the evangelist, would say, angels have entered the room. And this guy says, dear Lord, they're here. Amen. And they're molting. But there we are. And it doesn't matter then about the doctrine, the godliness of the life, the authenticity. All that matters is I'm getting something supernatural. Honey, when you get the Word of God, I'm going to tell you something. You didn't hear me tonight. If you're in a Bible study and you open your heart to this Word, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Christians without a foundation in the Word of God that don't know Christ on a personal, intimate level are easily duped by the devil. So I'm not cynical, I'm not jaded. I want to see a move of God, and I don't care who God chooses to send it through. But I want it to be real, and I want the results to be lasting. Can you say, man, if you got healed last Saturday, I don't believe the devil can steal it, amen, Monday afternoon. If God wants you healed and you had enough faith to receive it, I don't believe the devil has the authority to take it from you. Can you say, man, I got healed of cancer 8 going on 9. Now I'm 61 going on 62. Let me tell you something, old horse. It took. Can you say, man? I didn't spend my whole life trying to keep it because God gave it to me. Woo! Hallelujah. And the thief don't hold that kind of authority over me. Because yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. Somebody give Him praise tonight. His royal blood now flows through my veins. And I who was wretched and lost now can sing. Oh yes, thank God, I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise tonight. Woo! Wow. Let me read this quickly. Wherefore he saith, verse 14 of Ephesians 5, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. This is a good scripture for a spiritual awakening, descriptive of what God wants to do in what we call a spiritual awakening. See then that ye walk circumspectly. Circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What does the word circumspect mean? Well, in the Greek and in the English dictionary counterpart, it means watchful on all sides. Everybody say watchful on all sides. You got an enemy that wants to blindside you and blindside me. Amen. And the Bible said, if you're going to win this battle, amen, you're going to have to come out of your slumber and you're going to have to start being, I don't mean fearful. This is not about fearful. This is about wisdom. It's about being wise. Can you say amen? Amen. The wise will be watchful on all sides. Amen. If we'd been watching, Pearl Harbor wouldn't have happened. We were not ready. If we'd been watchful, if we'd been really watchful. You know what? They were looking for somebody to blame after 9/11. And I heard one prominent member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and this is what he said. He said, if there was negligence, it was in this area. That we did not use our imagination. Because what happened was beyond anything we could imagine. And we got to give our enemy a little more credit than that. Because they spend their whole life thinking up ways to hurt us. And there should be some people out there counter-thinking about security and not worrying so much about our personal rights as the personal safety of everybody here in America. Amen. There should be tighter. I tried to get a job at airport security one time. Because I saw those guys out there doing that, and I thought, they must get paid enough to eat. I mean, if they got that much responsibility about, this is before 9/11. They should get paid enough to buy groceries until I applied for the job at the international airport. Honey, you can't eat on what they're going to pay those people. You got to be semi-retired to go out there. Can you say amen? Amen. These are the people that check everybody that gets on the plane. These are the people that was checking them when they got on the plane with the case cutters. Amen. So here I am saying, well, I need a part-time job. What am I going to do? Airport security. In the most crucial time. I mean, it's not like we didn't know we got enemies that want to hurt us. It's that we don't want to pay nobody to give us genuine security. We just don't want to do what's necessary to be really secure. We did after that. You ain't going to go through there like that anymore. Amen. I think they pay more than what they paid back then, too. If they don't, somebody needs to string them up this way. But I mean, you're going to give me $8 an hour to be the whole last area of defense, so who gets on that plane to search them, make sure they ain't got nothing in their bag. And I'm supposed to take it to heart. I mean, it's amazing to me, the guy that drives the armored car. We had a lady at our church, she was armed guard on Loomis, I think, or one of the armored car services. She's packing heat. Amen. Praise God. And she didn't look like a lady that would pack heat. She's packing heat. But I'm going to tell you something. If somebody's going to try to knock over an armored car, that little 38 sitting there, and they're going to come down you with an AK-47 wearing body armor, you're going down. And you know what you're going down for? You're going down for about $10 an hour. Sitting in a hot old truck in the hot sun. Amen. And are you going to give your life for insured money that a banker is going to get their money back anyway? I don't think so. Amen. I don't want to be a guard for Loomis. I was going to put in for that at one time. Back when I was, in the transition stages, looking around, I checked Loomis, and I would give you $10 an hour. And I thought, you won't give me $10 an hour. Sit in the back of that truck, put my life on the line, carry a little puny 38. Amen. Give me body armor, AK-47 in my Bible. And you say, amen. I want it all. And $25 an hour. And a great life insurance program. That's right. Yeah, she'd be okay. What it said was, we're not taking our defenses seriously. Yeah, right. After 9/11, we started taking it seriously. And what the Bible is saying, if you're going to take victory and your defenses, you got an enemy. And when you wake up, amen, and have a spiritual awakening, you're going to wake up not only to the fact that God is real and God wants to move, but you wake up to the fact that an enemy is very, very real and is already on the move. Can you say amen? So you start walking differently. You walk circumspectly, watchful on all sides. Can you say amen? We're not ignorant of Satan's devices anymore. Can you say amen? We're in the know. And not as fools, amen, but as wise. Amen. Go forth from God's presence and be ye harmless as doves, but be ye wise as serpents. Amen. And you know something that's played down is developing in wisdom. Amen. A lot of people don't have any wisdom. You realize that? Some people bound and determined to get a blessing will interrupt me right now to get their blessing by delivering a message at the wrong time. They got to get it before they leave here. If they don't get it, their day is ruined. That's not why you get a gift of the Spirit, so you can feel the elation of being used. All the gifts are for one purpose, for the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. Can you say, man, that means that you folks begin to grow up into Him who is the head to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus, get encouraged in Him, get rooted and built up in Him, get the truth under your belt so you're not in error, become people. There's a gift called discerning of spirits. And that's a neglected gift. We call it discernment. It isn't. Discernment comes through growing and maturing in the Word of God. Discerning of spirits is when God, the Holy Spirit, reveals to you that something that looks like God isn't God at all. And you say, whoa, I don't. Sometimes it comes as a check inside. You can't even biblically refute it yet, but something doesn't feel right. God worked in us that way when we were young Christians. Our pastor was head over heels into a revival. We followed our pastor because he said it was of God. He went up for prayer. His wife, our pastor's wife, and we had them, up here. They're up here. We're these little peons down here. But God had a calling on our life. And if I'm going to lead anything at all in any measure, I need to be able to discern good from evil, even when evil parades as good. I need the gift of discernment of spirit so I know if the devil's in operation, even if nobody else does. Amen. You don't follow the crowd, you follow the Christ. Amen. The blind lead the blind. How many go in the ditch? Everyone that follows the blind person. We came back from a revival meeting. People had all kind of manifestations. A guy went over and touched But remember that stove that night that had it was a grove heater in the wintertime. This was under a tent, and this grove heater that blows that heated air out with such velocity. Somebody went over and put his hand on that night and didn't get burned. And everybody's in there saying, wow, God is in this place. And here's where it began to go wrong. And I'm a young Christian. And you, it'll be obvious to you because you've sat under good ministry for years. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But at that time, I didn't get what you're getting. And I didn't know this. Amen. And my pastor obviously didn't know this. He was young in the Lord, even though he was an older man than me. He was young in the Lord. And so he didn't have that going on. And so the guy said, tonight, what's going to happen? And boy, everybody, anything supernatural has got people's attention. You want to rivet them? Amen. Don't just teach what the Bible said. Tell them about your spiritual experience. Then you're going to rivet them. They've heard what the Bible says. They're not all that crazy about that. They've heard that. But when you tell them about something you experienced and it's supernatural, that don't mean you didn't. It just means that you get people's focus. You get people's undivided attention. So he said, tonight, something supernatural and wonderful is going to happen. This is how God uses me in ministry. Okay, here's what he said. He said, my spirit is going to go out. He says, like my spirit comes out of my body and sits over to the side looking down on it. And the spirit of Jesus comes in my body and uses my body. All right, that's bad enough because that's unbiblical and that's not the way the anointing works. You don't go out and he come in and now it's him in you instead of, and you're sitting where? You're sitting up here somewhere looking down on that. And I'm sitting there saying, this don't sound right. But my pastor's okay with it. My pastor's wife is okay with it. All of the people we went to church with have been in the Lord longer than us. Honey, this was Pentecost. You tell them something like that, they're getting ready to shout and get victory. Amen. And so then he capped it off with this. Then he began to call people up and pray for them. And when he did, he said, would you like to know how tongues sound in the Eskimo language? And somebody said, yeah, well, certainly. He laid hands on a lady that we knew, and she spoke in tongues with a dialect of Eskimo. Well, it had to be the Holy Ghost. No, the Bible didn't say they had to be the Holy Ghost. You think the devil can't mimic tongues? You think he's so dumb he can't figure out how to do that? You think he don't know Eskimo? That he don't bother the Eskimos, don't hang out if it's too cold. He's from a hot climate. Can you say, man, you think that? Huh? No. He knows Eskimo. And then it went on to different languages. They did it in different languages. I was scared to death he's going to call me because I said, if I can't do it, it'll prove I'm not spiritual. Amen? I'm serious. But see, a spirit was at work in that place, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. And the only way we begin to detect was, where is that in the Word of God? I'm still hung up on the man leaving his body and Jesus entering his body. But now I'm hearing this. I cannot deny what's happening. And then it goes to another stage. And this is a guy who'd been on a long fast and got revelations and experiences. Now, the next stage was this. And here was another thing. Someone came up for prayer that we knew. The lady went up to be prayed for. He began to lay hands on her and said, look in my eyes and tell me who you see. Well, she's already been pre-programmed that Jesus has entered. He has left. And she looks in his eyes and said, I see Jesus. Now, I see Jesus in him when he worships. But I don't look in his eyes and see his spirit has left. Mike is gone. And Jesus is there. You know, you understand the difference? Because now he's deity. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how strongly you're anointed. He's divine. You're the branch. Can you say amen? And apart from him, you can't do nothing. Therefore, it's all about who? It's all about him. No matter how mightily he uses us, bottom line, it's all about him. Because without him, we couldn't do anything. Woo! When she said that, it grieved our spirit. Then they went to pray for deliverance from a young lady. And she went into some kind of state and they took her home in that state. And it was really scary because she wasn't free and peaceful when she left. She screamed for hours and left in a stupor. And that, God is not the author of confusion. But supernatural. I've seen and done some supernatural things. But I pray it wasn't confusing. They might have said, boy, that preacher, he really got free to... Amen. But confusion is coming from one source. And God is not the author of it. He's the author of peace. And what was the confusion? Can I teach you that? What was the confusion in the context? Two people prophesying at one time. Two people speaking in tongues, no one giving a message. Everybody, yeah, that's the context where it said God's not the author of confusion. If someone starts, you hush, Paul said. If someone enters that door that don't know God, all of you hush. So that you can hear the gospel so that person can get saved. You're not just here to get your personal blessing. We're here to do the kingdom work. You're blessed. You're saved. You're filled. Now hush so somebody else can get saved and blessed. Amen. An unlearned man come in. Everybody speaking in tongues. What'd he say? What'd he say? That guy can't. He said, I'm not against tongues. He said, though I speak in 10,000 words in other tongues. He said, in the congregation, when someone comes in that needs to hear about Jesus, I'd rather speak 5 words. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. Can you say amen? People can get saved on those 5 words. But they can't get saved if somebody's speaking in tongues. Can you say amen? Are you listening? Is that the context? He said, because God is not the author of confusion. But God is the author of peace. And boy, we didn't have peace. And I've used that as a rule of thumb. If I don't have peace, I don't care what the crowd says. If I don't have peace, I don't care what you say. Can you say, if I don't have peace in my heart, I don't pursue it. I don't follow it. I begin to, and if I don't understand it, I don't even criticize it. What I do, I just distance myself from it. Because if it blows up, I don't want to lead anybody into it. Can you say, man? Because I'm a pastor. And I care about sheep. And I don't want to see them manipulated, and I don't want to see them used, and I don't want to see them fleeced. Amen. I want to see them helped, and I want to see them really healed, and I want to see them have peace of heart and peace of mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So we went home, got out our Bible, began to read. No scripture jumped out, but we just got down on our knees. I remember in our little living room and a little upstairs apartment, we got down on our knees and we said, Jesus, we don't understand this. See, the whole thing about touch not my anointing was going on at the same time because there were some critics of the movement. A preacher had walked in there and he knew it wasn't of God, and he got up with his associate and walked out in the middle of the service, and that guy began to Ichabod him and his church. And I thought, boy, this is not good, because now not only is something off base, but now there's a fear factor added that if you question it, you're going to come under God's judgment. So now you can't even question the thing for the fear factor. Honey, you got to watch that kind of manipulation. And this guy, absolutely, that thing went crazy. It went haywire. It messed a lot of people up. The guy quit the ministry altogether and became a policeman in Lakeland. From a pulpit to a police officer. With such an anointing that you're supposed to be groundbreaking. Jesus taking over. And Jesus' influence is all about that. My spirit don't go nowhere. And I am not divine when He does it. When they thought Paul was divine and said the gods on Mars Hill, Paul preached and that anointing came, and they said, we've never experienced anything like this. The gods have come down to us. And they were looking straight at Paul. And Paul opened his garment and showed them his flesh and says, don't you give the honor to me nor the glory to me. You give it to the true and living God. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise tonight. Hallelujah! There are things that I don't know if it's God or not yet. The Bible clearly said, be careful what you say, because it's of God. If it's not of God, it'll come to naught eventually. You know, some of these things run a course. Some of them take 10 years, 15. I've seen doctrines come in the church and run for 15 years. And it seemed like they're like a freight train that can't be stopped. But suddenly that old thing derails and people are brought full circle back to Jesus. The only way out of a cult is coming back to Jesus. The only way out of doctrinal error is coming back to Jesus and just hanging on His words and His example. The Bible is a lamp to your feet, and it is a light to your pathway. And Jesus said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And the enemy's element is darkness. This is not a power-to-power struggle. Satan's weapon is deception. And God's answer is to give us knowledge. Amen. First piece of the armor is your loins girt about with truth. Everything hinges on that. And without it, we're open prey. And that's why Pentecostalism has so many critics. I love to preach a message that in a Baptist church, we have serious doctrinal differences, but I love to preach a message that would touch a Baptist church, a Methodist church, any church that is still pursuing Jesus in this last day, that is acceptable. Why? Because truth is not something that's in a corner. We don't have a corner on truth. Amen? Some people think the revelation of a particular minister is the final word. It is not. It is subject to God's word, and it's subject to your scrutiny. For years, Roman Catholicism was run by the priest. People were not allowed to read the scriptures because that you can't get it right. You're too ignorant to get it right. Only the priest can rightfully divide it, so you can't study it, so you can never check them out. And when they did start checking them out and discovered the truth in the Word of God, it's called the Reformation. They said, hey, we don't have to come under that. Amen. This is about God. This is about Jesus. This is about justification by faith. This is about His blood. This is about His mediatory ministry. This is between me and Him, old hoss. Can you say amen? And the control factor was lost. Mashallah. God does not want His church. Now even ministries, the Bible said, not being lords over God's heritage, but an example to the flock. Follow me as I follow Christ is how we lead biblically. Can you say amen? Not by a dictatorship, not by abuse of authority. There are people that followed a particular prophetic ministry. And now the minister's come out of having this affair and having a child by his brother's wife, and all this mess has come out. And people followed that prophetic ministry wholeheartedly. But now the truth has come out that behind the scenes of this so-called such a high spiritual plane, amen, where people put someone on such a pedestal, amen, and the person had such influence because of the pedestal they were placed. You should honor leadership, but you should follow Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I don't want to control you, because then I'd be responsible for you. I want to point you to Jesus. And when you call me up and say, my life is a mess, and I said, have you been following Jesus? You say, no, I hadn't been following. Well, then you better start, don't you think? He'll straighten it out. If you don't know how, come to church, and we'll tell you how. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But if you follow Him, you won't walk in darkness. If you get out of the darkness, Satan's element is lost. His edge is lost. Can you say amen? Glory to God. I want to walk in the bright white light of His Word as it illuminates my pathway. And I want to grow up into Him who is the head. I want to be discerning. I want to have the gift of discerning of spirits, because this is a day of great deception. And I want to have discernment where I can tell good from evil, even when evil parades as good. And I don't want to enter into any service that has anything that smacks of goosey-loosey. That lady that had the goose feathers come out and said, angels have entered the room as the goose feathers trickle down. Well, it's a pretty good argument, isn't it? Amen. The feathers are falling on people. Someone took one of the feathers and had it analyzed. Guess what? Goose feathers. One guy was casting demons out of people, and he would have up his sleeve in a little pouch up there, he would have this real gross looking something from the butcher shop, and he would take it and he would grab hold of your belly. Let me see if I can find a belly. Here's one. And he told you I'd get him back. Anyway, and he'd grab it like that, and he'd say, you come out of there. And when he did, he would pull this something, this old bloody-looking something. It wasn't wet blood, but, you know, old ugly-looking fleshy thing. And he'd say, and he'd take it, and he'd put it, have an usher take it and get it out. Well, the usher dropped it and couldn't find it because there were many people standing around. And a guy saw it, grabbed it, put it in his handkerchief, took it to the butcher shop, and it was the heart of a pig that had been slaughtered. And this guy was talking about pulling some old nasty demonic thing out of somebody. Everybody said, man, I got to get down there and get them. I got to get my husband down there and get that old nasty demonic thing out of him. I know he got one. Now, I'm not saying people don't need deliverance and can't get demon-possessed, but I'm telling you, the day of phony baloney has to come to a close. The day of easily duped Christians following any little flash in the pan has to come to an end. We need to be people of understanding, people of knowledge. We have an unction from the Holy One. What does that mean? We have a special anointing for one supreme purpose, to know truth. Every spirit that does not confess that what? Jesus has come in the flesh, that God was made manifest in the flesh, that God became incarnate, that Jesus was not just an anointed man, Jesus was God come to earth. He was God on the cross. He was God raised from the dead. He's God as He sits by the Father's right hand. There's one God made up of three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He was the Son before He was ever born in Bethlehem. Woo! Hallelujah. You'd be amazed how many mainline religions do not believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. They don't even believe He was virgin born. They tried to come out with a user-friendly Bible, politically correct, more acceptable to our culture, that is selling truth in the name of tolerance. Honey, you don't sell truth in the name of tolerance. And the Bible called Mary a young woman instead of a virgin. If she's not a virgin, He's not the Messiah. That's how crucial that truth is. If He's not the Messiah, His blood was not worthy to sprinkle the mercy seat. If it wasn't, you're not saved by following Him. We better find somebody else. Can you say amen? You can't mess with those cardinal critical truths. So sell a book that is acceptable. Then they run by Moody. I think they quiz Moody and several other of the large influential Bible institutes and ministries. They wanted to come out with a gender-free Bible so that, you know, anyone who was female wouldn't feel bad about God taking the male persona. So everywhere it said He did this or He did that, it would say, I don't know what they were going to say it or what. I don't know what to call Him, because you can't call Him Him in that Bible. And they said, if you put that Bible out, we will stand in our pulpits and decry it. And we will tell everyone we can influence, don't you go down and buy that thing. They're changing the Word of God to make it socially, politically acceptable. Don't touch it. Because if you start making these changes, where does it end? Where does it end? After a while, some of the sins that God said would damn your soul will not be listed as soul-damning sins. The Ten Commandments will become the sin suggestions so they can be politically acceptable. Can you say, man? We'll change the Bible until it's our book. We'll have a God of our own making and not the God of the Bible. But we're not going to answer to some religious institution, some Bible manufacturer. Can you say, man, we're going to stand before the living God and give an account. I want somebody to tell me the truth, thank you. I don't care what's happening around them. I want to hear truth when they preach. I want to see something too. And it's not just the phenomenon of gifts and miracles. I want to see a Christ-like spirit. I want to see a humility. I want to see a meekness. I want to see a love, not just an anointing. Is it okay if I'm looking for Jesus in leadership? Yes. And I'm not expecting to see a sinlessly perfect life, but I don't want to see someone living in a darkened part of their life and leading people to say it's okay, because if I do it and have such a great anointing, it's okay for you and you and you and you. What do you want for your kids? Who do you want them to identify with as following Jesus? I don't want to let your kids down. I tell you, I care about you, but I care about your kids even more. I want them to look at Brother Venable and say, he's a good man. He lived a good life. I want to leave a legacy so that they can say, that man, that woman, they lived the life. They had their ups, their downs. You can see their faults. Amen. Because we have them. But they lived a life for God. And they loved Him till the end. I want to leave it for my kids. I want to leave it for your kids. Can you say, man? I want them to follow me as I follow Christ. It's called godliness. Sometimes when people have strong anointings, we don't demand godliness in them. We got what we wanted because we got that touch. We're not looking for godliness. How can we have ministry and leadership that isn't godly? Does the anointing take the place of godliness? Christ-likeness? Is it just a power trip?
And if you're just after power, you're in big trouble. Because the Bible's about a person who has power. But it's the person that you're to be centered in. The devil has power. God has all power. That's the difference. When that ministry went down, we realized that we couldn't even just follow pastoral leadership. We had to get down in the Word. We had to get down on our knees. And we had to start walking circumspect. And that means watchful on all sides. And when something began to twinge, amen. Spider-Man said, his spider sense, he knew something about that. His spider sense starts twinging. Well, this is not spider sense. This is not comic book stuff. Amen. This is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. And when something isn't right, and you don't even know why it isn't right, but deep on the inside, something says, whoa. Man came in one day and he claimed to be a prophet or whatever he was, apostle. I think he was the apostle because he had a card that said so. So he handed me his card and it said apostle so-and-so. And I thought, I'm supposed to accept that you are an apostle. You know, there's a scripture in the book of Revelation that one of the reason God, one of the things that God commended one of the churches of Asia was that you have, church at Ephesus, you have tried them that said they were apostles and were not and found them to be liars. You couldn't give them an apostle card or talk about your gifts and your ministry and have them convinced. They want to see something more. Amen. The marks of an apostle was all over Paul. He was persecuted and he kept the faith. He had a servant heart. Amen. He was ready to lay down his life for his brethren. If he said, if me being cursed would save you, I would let myself be a curse to save you. He was that committed to the cause of Jesus and to the people that he loved. We're not looking for that. People can be proud, arrogant, and self-serving, but as long as they lay something on us on Sunday, we're happy with them. That is not biblical leadership. They're not following Jesus, because if you follow Jesus, there's a mindset. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who number one, made of himself no reputation. He said, my Father's the only good one. Because men were looking at him after the flesh. It didn't mean he wasn't God incarnate. It meant what all they were seeing was this great rabbi, this great priest, this great anointed healer. And he said, without God, there's no good down here. Even though he had no sin. Amen? Let this mind be in you, and made of himself no reputation, but took on himself, watch this, the form of a servant. And humbled himself. And took on himself the form of a servant. And was obedient even unto the death of the cross. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. There it is, that humility, that obedience to death, to obey the Father. I am meek and lowly in spirit. And you will find rest for your soul. Because when you follow my example, the Prince of Peace will reign in your heart and mind. Keep it. Amen? Amen? Because God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. Great peace, the Old Testament said, have they who love thy law. Peace is not just something that God lays on you. It's something that develops in you as you learn to trust in Him and follow Him. Wow. Are you getting anything out of this tonight? Let me finish real quick. Verse 15 says, let see then that you walk circumspectly. Everybody say, watchful on all sides. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The last day, that day was evil, but this is worse. It escalates and we're in the last of the last days. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I really believe that this is speaking to people who may have already been baptized in the Holy Ghost. That began to happen on the day of Pentecost. The actual Greek wording here is not as if you've never had the Holy Ghost, go out and get the Holy Ghost. Because I know people with the Holy Ghost that don't have peace. And I know people that speak in tongues in deep error. I pastored long enough to see it, and I don't have time to tell you the stories, but I saw it with my eyes. It's not secondhand. Talking in tongues don't keep you from deception. Holy laughter don't keep you from deception. Running the aisle, prophesying doesn't keep you from deception. They had a whole church full of immature people with gifts of the Spirit that Paul had to address. They would have been easily duped by the devil. And none of that was spiritual credentials. It's a tool to serve the church with, not something to build oneself up with. Period. The actual wording of this, let me just give it to you there's three things. Number one, it's not a suggestion or an appeal. It's a command. Everybody say, be filled with the Spirit. That's from the Word of God. There's no exception. I'm Baptist. It doesn't matter. This is not a Pentecostal doctrine. This is a biblical doctrine. It is a present tense verb, as it's written originally. We are to be filled with the Spirit now. And it is a continuous, this is so important, a continuous action verb. It could be translated, because of its continuous action, being filled with the Spirit. Now, I've got to give you an example of that before we quit and go home. The Bible said, after the day of Pentecost, after these ministers were filled with the Holy Ghost, after the man was healed at the gate beautiful, they took those spiritual leaders, those apostles, and they brought them, these Spirit-filled men, they brought them before the council and charged them, don't preach or teach in this name anymore, threatened their life, and they would have killed them. But they could not deny that a notable miracle had been done. And when they asked them about the miracle, they said, the Jesus that you put on the cross, whom God hath raised from the dead, they preached the resurrection. Amen. Through faith in His name, this man had his soundness before you all. They sent him away, threatened them with death, and told them, don't ever preach. And they came back to their company, told them what they said. Said, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. And when they had prayed that prayer, the place they were in was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This was Spirit-filled people. That meant the Holy Ghost manifest, and all that fear was dissipated. He rose up, and when God stands up big in you, you're not afraid of what man can do anymore. Can you say, man? Be being filled with the Spirit. That's a constant. Some of you got the Holy Ghost years ago. Do you know how you got it? You were seeking God with all of your heart. You might not even been seeking the Holy Ghost. You're just seeking God. And God, what happened? You got filled with the Spirit. And guess what happens if you start seeking God with that intensity? Not for the Spirit, but for God. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to be being filled. It's going to be something continuous. It's when you got it and sit down on it. That's when you lose that revival spirit. And that's when you're susceptible to the enemy. But if you be being filled, it means you're just deaf. We sung a song, I'm desperate for you. Are you still desperate for me? You got it all wrapped up. And you're on a plateau. You're happy where you are. Got a little bit of knowledge. Amen. You don't need to seek God intensely anymore. Why do you need to do that? Unless you get in an accident or bankruptcy or the IRS finds out. Can you say amen? Sends you a letter. You don't have to seek God intensely like that without a threat. Amen, driving you. You had reasons before because you knew how desperately I need the power of God and the person of Christ. When you lose the desperation, you're not filled anymore. You're not being filled constantly. Yeah. You just have an experience way back when. Yeah.